Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. And now, here are Bob and Richard.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. I'm Bob Dancer.
And I'm Richard Munchkin.
Our guest today is Jimmy Gass. Jimmy was on about 3 weeks ago talking about credit cards and various smart ways to do money. And today we're having him back. Some of the things he talked about before are he's going to add to, do some brief corrections to, but it's going to be more of the same. Jimmy Gass, welcome back to Gambling with an Edge.
Thanks, Bob. Good to be here.
All right. So last time we talked about toll roads and prepaid toll roads and things like that. So why don't you tell us what you said right or what you said wrong last time and how did we get the right answer and stuff like that?
Well, I did a little bit more research on the whole cashless toll roads in rental cars. And this issue is strictly, well, not strictly, but mostly for when you have a rental car and come across the new cashless toll roads. So there's a company called PlatePass, and they are the nationwide image tolling network. So what they do is they handle the billing for all the cashless toll roads for both rental cars and personally owned vehicles. Now, if you have a personal vehicle and you drive through a toll road that doesn't have a toll booth and needs a transponder, and you happen to not have a transponder and go through the toll road, they will send you a bill, and there's probably a fine and some other things involved in that. To avoid that, you can sign up on their website and open up an account. The good side is you don't have to buy a transponder. The bad side is there's a monthly fee for using their service when you pay your tolls by mail. There's also an inactivation fee if you don't use it for a certain period of time. So it's kind of they kind of hit you for some extra fees if you use that service. If you have a rental car, your options are much less. As we talked about last time, you can pay the fee for the rental car. They offer a service for about $15 a day, plus whatever tolls you incur. If you don't do their service and get billed by their third-party company, they add on these administrative fees, which are very high in relationship to the tolls that you actually pay. Now, you can buy a transponder, which lets you do the billing, and you load money on it, and you use it to take care of your tolls. The downside is when you buy these transponders, you have to register it to your vehicle. So for a rental car, unless you're planning on leaving it with the vehicle, it becomes an expensive way to pay your tolls. You also have to guess about how much you're going to pay and load the money onto the transponder and all that. So it's really not a very friendly system if you're in a rental car driving around. And I took a look at some of the toll roads across the U.S., and every toll road in Georgia, Texas, and North Carolina is cashless now. In California, the Golden Gate Bridge is a cashless toll road. And in New York, the Hudson Bridge and the Tappan Zee Bridge, which are two pretty big bridges out there, are also tollless, or cashless, sorry. In Florida, there's a bunch of them, and they actually use three different transponder types for your billing, so it gets kind of confusing down there. And finally, Puerto Rico has also joined the bandwagon and has cashless toll roads. So there's no universal transmitter. There's lots of regional companies. You have to work with each individual state. And it's very difficult to find a way to make it affordable if you have a rental vehicle and come across a cashless toll road. I did send an email into the North Carolina toll road website to see if there's any options that I don't see, and I haven't heard back from them yet. So my advice is if you have a rental car, avoid cashless toll roads if you can. Otherwise, you might get a fairly expensive surprise in the mail.
Now, you sent us, sent Richard and me, a list of states and easy pass or whatever they're called in the various states. Does that relate to cashless or all toll roads, or because there's quite a few more states here than what you just mentioned?
Right, and if you look at the list, there's a little asterisk by the ones that don't take cash anymore. So, I mean, out of all the toll roads in the U.S., I mean, it might be, right now, it might be 20% that are cashless, but that's the way they seem to be going. And new constructions are going that way, and also some of the old constructions are converting to that. So the one that surprised me the most is the Golden Gate Bridge is now a cashless toll road. And I imagine that they snag a lot of unsuspecting people who rent a vehicle and drive that road, not realizing that they're in for a surprise in a couple weeks in the mail.
Yeah, so there's no easy way around it road-wise. You can there's a ferry that goes to Sausalito, which you can do that instead of the Golden Gate Bridge, but that takes some sort of some inside knowledge on how to do that.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, cashless toll roads do provide a service. They are quicker and all that, but it just seems there should be a way to actually pay it without having to pay all these third-party administrative fees. So I think they've zeroed in on a nice profit center that maybe they didn't anticipate when they designed them, and they're doing very little to make it easy and affordable for especially rental car people to use them.
Basically an extra tourist tax.
Yeah, and a pretty hefty one.
All right, Richard, is there any reason we can't post this list that he sent us on toll roads with when we post the...
Sure, that's no problem.
On the gamblingwithanedge.com.
Yeah, it's a big list. I mean, it's probably 5 pages of toll roads, but...
But broadband is cheap, so we can...
Or I can send you the link that lists them all, if you want to do it that way, too.
Yeah, that might be a better way to go. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Let's move on to another subject. Manufactured spent. Last time you told us about the plastic system where for a 2.5% fee, they will allow you to use your credit cards and they will send a check or whatever needs to be sent to the places that won't accept your credit card.
Yes.
Now, are there any updates to that?
I found out they actually have a referral program. So if you're a member and you want to sign up a new member, there's a bonus for both the person who signs up and the person who provides that person. So there's a bonus for each person. I did look to see if there's any other similar sites, and most of the ones I found were either more restrictive, more expensive, or had some other quirks to it. So it seems like plastic is the main player in the market right now. There's one company called Cozy, and they do the same thing, but it's for paying your rent only. So it's more for the convenience as opposed to getting your credit card spend in a given month. Their fee is 2.75%. It's for rent only, and they don't take Amex. So more expensive, more restrictive. And that's the general theme I saw as I looked for other places that do the same thing that plastic does.
Okay.
So if you want to get through your spend in a hurry and take a little hit on the dollar side, that's a very good way to do it.
Now, last time you gave us a email address, I think it was gwae_cc@aol.com.
Correct.
Now, using it for the Plastique referral doesn't buy much. But they will get $5 waived when they're new members, and you get $10. So that's pretty small to share. But yeah, they still get the $5 in fees waived.
Correct. So I'm not a Plastique member yet. That's going to be one of the next moves I make. So if somebody is a member out there and wants to get the referral, I'd be happy to be their first customer. I think it's a worthwhile tool to have in your financial toolbox. So,
you know, I just wanted to say that for me, I don't know, maybe my case is unusual, but I'm able to pay almost all of my bills through credit cards. I mean, the only ones that come to mind are my pool man and my gardener and stuff. But almost everything else I can do that. Although I guess I do have one property that has a mortgage that doesn't go through a credit card. So
mortgage is the biggest one, and then car payment would probably be the second biggest one for most people. But even something like a doctor bill, or if you're going to have, you know, a $2,000 procedure done from a doctor, and he doesn't, well, I guess most doctors take credit cards, so that wouldn't be a good one. Mortgage and car would be the big ones.
Many of our listeners have lines of credit at a casino. If you took a $10,000 marker, would Plastique, I mean, could you pay that through Plastique?
That I haven't checked yet. Their website says they will pay pretty much anybody in whatever bearer instrument they accept. So I haven't dug in enough to see if they'll take it to pay off a marker or not. I imagine they would. I mean, because from the casino viewpoint, they're getting paid, so they're happy. And the fact that you pay an extra 2.5% probably doesn't matter to them very much.
Yeah. And if you're getting something at the back end, they don't need to know about that.
Exactly.
All right. Let's move on to something else. Chase credit cards. We talked about the 5-24 rule, meaning you open up 5 cards of any sort or several sorts within a 2-year period. You can't open up any more. Are there any updates on that?
Yes. And that's just for Chase. So Chase has this restriction that if you open up 5 credit cards, regardless of who they're opened up with, Chase won't give you another credit card. There was a posting July 26th at thepointsguy.com, another good website, and he talked about, well, the title of the page is The Unfortunate Expansion of the Chase 524 Rule. So now Chase is extending that to business cards and any card that's on the Ultimate Rewards program, plus a few other cards, including the Chase Inc., the Marriott card, the Southwest card, and the Chase United card. So all the business cards, all the Chase Sapphire and Chase Freedom cards, and those 4 I just mentioned will all not accept a new application if you've had 5 credit cards opened in the last 2 years. Now, there's a few cards that aren't part of this, and they're mostly Chase cards tied to a hotel chain. So there's IHG, Hyatt, and Ritz-Carlton cards. Those aren't part of this rule yet. There's also a British Airways card and a Disney card. So the less valuable cards in the Chase portfolio are the ones that this rule doesn't apply to yet. But given the direction that they're taking, I wouldn't expect that that'll last very much longer. I think they'll eventually go to pretty much everything. So if you want to get a Chase card, take a look at your credit history, and if you have 5 cards open, they will refuse you. And I've found that out firsthand, and your credit score doesn't matter, and your income doesn't matter. It's pretty much an automatic in the rejection basket.
I've heard that you may have better success if you actually have a relationship in a branch, so that you can go in and talk to a banker in a branch. They may be able to do something for you.
I've heard that too, but I haven't tested that.
Yeah, and another thing while we're on this subject is we mentioned last time that you can get 2 Southwest cards that each give you 50,000 miles, and
right.
And you have to spend $3,000 in the first 3 months. So now you're up to 106,000 points, and if you spend an additional 4,000, you're at 110,000, which gives you a companion pass. I just wanted to mention this is the perfect time to be doing this, because you want to do it. You want to complete that spend after January 1st, because if you do, then that companion pass will be good for all of 2017 and all of the following year, 2018.
Correct.
So you can get two years of a companion pass by, working the timing out on this. And right now is kind of the perfect time to be applying for those cards.
Right. I think the spend is 2,000 in 3 months, so it's a little bit less. But, yeah, you do have to do the extra 6,000 roughly to get the companion. And the key is you want to complete your spending requirement in 2017. So if you get the card now, actually I'd wait a little bit, and you can do this. You can do some of your spend now, but you want the final spend that takes you over that 2,000 limit to occur in 2017.
Right.
So once that happens, yeah, you're good to go. And to me, I still don't understand why they give away that great of a perk, but I'm happy they do. And in the old days, it was even better, because if I transferred miles from my Chase Sapphire Preferred card, the miles I transferred counted toward that 110,000 mark. So it was even easier to do. They closed that loophole up.
Now, what about Chase referrals?
Yeah, Chase has a pretty good referral program. On the Chase Sapphire Preferred, it's 10,000 points, which is worth $100 cash at least. The problem with Chase, though, is it's not the most friendly program to go through. They tend to be super secretive, and it's almost like they're making it difficult sometimes. They don't want to tell you if the person you referred got accepted for their credit card or not. They're very tight-lipped about the information, and they'll tell you it takes 8 to 12 weeks, and it really does take 8 to 12 weeks and sometimes a phone call or two. So while they do have the program, either on purpose or for whatever reason, it's a little bit of trouble to work your way through it. It's still nice. I mean, $100 for, doing an hour or two's worth of work is pretty good pay, but it's not as straightforward as some other referral programs. So if you're going to do the Chase referral deal, know that going in. And if anybody wants to open up the Southwest cards, I can do referrals for them, and we'll be happy to split a referral bonus with them.
Jimmy, are you familiar with GiftMe?
No.
Okay. I haven't used them, but I knew of them. I signed up, and I just have never gotten around to doing it. But basically, you can buy gift cards at a discount. So it is a way to manufacture spend, and and get a discount on the gift cards that you're buying anyway. So,
good deal.
So this would be like you could buy Amazon cards at 95 cents on the dollar or some such number?
Yeah, and yes, and actually the reason that I just asked about it is because as we were sitting here, I just got an email from them that they're having a flash sale this weekend where they're selling Home Depot gift cards at a 20% discount.
That's a big discount.
So, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's the same deal I get using the Amex Blue Preferred Cash Card and the Kroger Gas Points. So for me, it's not as great a deal, but I could see that being very beneficial to a lot of people. And, you know...
Yeah, if you're trying to manufacture a spend, it's...
Sure, I will definitely look into that one.
All right. What is my 1mileatatime.com?
That's another one of these websites that gives you a host of information about frequent flyer programs, how they work, which ones are good, which ones are bad, and how to use credit cards and credit card bonuses to rack up miles to travel for free. And one of the really neat things they have on their site, one of the gentlemen went through and gave a rating for pretty much every frequent flyer program and a lot of the credit card programs on what he thinks those points are worth. It's a little bit subjective, but he does a pretty good explanation of how he comes up with his numbers and why he values things the way he does. So it's a good way to, it's almost like a currency exchange. So if you know, you know, you're looking between two different airline credit cards to sign up for, you can take a look at which one is more valuable and help that make your decision. And he lists a boatload of them. A couple examples. American Airline miles he thinks are worth a penny and a half each. Southwest is 1.4 cents each. I personally value those a little bit more. I use 1.8 when I calculate that one based on my particular situation and where I fly from. The Starwood Preferred Group points, which is a hotel chain, he values at 2.2 cents, and the Chase Ultimate he values at 1.7 cents. So that gives you...
But now, if in the case, let's say Chase Ultimate, he values them at 1.7, but to use them for what? Like, you have a choice of what to do with those points, and one choice, maybe they're worth 1.7, but another choice, they might only be worth half that. So does he tell you what to use those points for?
Well, you jumped into the next topic.
Hmm. So, okay.
What a segue. All right, let's go to the next topic.
Let me just say this before we jump. And that is one of the reasons I was interested in this, and this is a pitfall that's very easy for anybody to fall into. So just recently, I got hit with a $95 annual fee for a Citi Rewards card, and I realized I had signed up for this card a year ago, and they had given 50,000 points, and waived the annual fee for the first year. So, you know, for me, basic strategy is to then, you know, either see if they have a free card at that point or get rid of the card. But I had all these points that I had never used. And because I was under time pressure, I ended up just going in and buying gift cards. So they were worth basically like a penny a piece. Now, maybe they would have been worth much more if I had transferred them to an airline or something else. I don't know. But that's kind of why I was asking the question. I mean, I was happy I ended up with $600 worth of gift cards for basically signing up for this card a year ago. Knowing what to use the points for, that is a big topic and time-consuming for people to figure that out.
Yeah, and you bring up a couple good points. One is, if you're going to open an airline card or a City Points card, you should have some idea before you start if you're going to be able to use those points effectively or not. Certain points expire. Typically, if you open up a credit card that gives you frequent flyer points, when you drop the credit card, the frequent flyer miles stay because that's going into a separate account. If you have Chase Ultimate Rewards points and you cancel your card, they might send you a check for the balance. I'm not sure. But it sounds like Citi's, and I've had Citi cards in the past where I've had left a bonus on when I retired the card, and you basically lose the bonus. So, yeah, that's definitely a very important thing to keep track of. But as far as using the points, that's interesting. Like on the Chase Ultimate, so you've got your points. You can turn them into cash. So if you have 10,000 points, they'll take $100 off your bill or send you a check for $100. So they're worth at least a penny apiece. If you go to their travel site, you get a 20% bonus. So if you want to get something, like a car for $120, it only costs you 10,000 points. So they're worth 1.2 cents apiece there. You could also transfer them to a host of frequent flyer programs where they become worth whatever the points in the frequent flyer program are worth. So for me, Southwest points are worth 1.8%. So if I have 10,000 Chase Ultimate Rewards points and I transfer them to Southwest, to me that's worth $180. So for me, that's the best use of my points. If somebody lives in a city where Southwest doesn't fly or doesn't have a hub or doesn't have a direct flight, that might not be such a good use, and maybe the cash back is the better use of the points, or transfer to a hotel program. So that's the beauty of the Chase Ultimate Rewards points, is they're transferable to a host of other programs. The airline points are a little more restrictive.
In what
but
way?
You definitely need to have a goal in mind when you open this. I mean, you could open 75 credit cards tomorrow, but you're not going to be able to use all the stuff you get. So you need to do a little bit of planning and say, I've got these 50,000 Citibank points. What can I use them for before you sign up for the card?
Yeah, which is what I didn't do. And then I forgot about it completely for a year. So...
And if you want, and we can talk about this a little bit as one of the further down topics, but typically if you go to call them up and say, I want to get rid of this credit card, they will try and get you to keep it by either waiving the fee for a year or offering some other bonus. Also, there's a period of time, and it's different from credit card to credit card. So if my annual fee happens on December 1st, I might have until January 31st to cancel the card and still get the full refund on my annual fee. So there's a grace period after it posts. Some companies it's 30 days, some it's 60 days, some it's more than that. And each credit card is a little bit different. And you brought up another interesting point, which is if you have an annual fee credit card that you don't want to pay the annual fee for anymore, and you call up the credit card company, they will oftentimes offer you another card in their portfolio which doesn't have an annual fee that you can switch your current card to that card. The benefit being is you keep your years of history with that card. So if you've had a card for 4 years, the new card is like you've had it for 4 years, which is a benefit on your credit score. The downside is if there's a bonus, a sign-up bonus associated with that new card, you don't get it by switching from a different card.
Yeah, I was surprised by two things. One, when I canceled my Southwest card, they didn't have a Southwest card anymore that had no annual fee. So that was not an option. And with Citi, as you say, usually they say, oh, well, we can give you another card with no annual fee. I was really shocked because with Citi, I was like, I want to cancel the card. And they were like, okay. And boom. I mean, it was just instant. I mean, wow. I'm used to them trying to sell me something, and they didn't at all.
Well, you're kind of reaching ahead to the other another topic, but for Southwest, for Chase Southwest, for some reason, they'll allow you to cancel 6 months past the post date and still refund your annual fee, which is the longest I've ever heard for anybody. The other thing they do is if your annual fee, I think the Plus card is a $69 annual fee, and you get 3,000 Southwest Rapid Reward miles. And those miles post when the annual fee posts. But then you have 6 months to cancel and get a refund on the annual fee. So that's a nice little perk there. And when I called to cancel...
So you can use those 30,000 miles and then cancel?
3,000, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they don't seem to be tied together, which is kind of interesting. But when I went to cancel one of my Chase Southwest cards, the first thing the guy said is, if you stick around, I'll give you $70, which was the cost of the annual fee. So I said, okay, I'll do that for another year. I'm surprised Chase Southwest didn't offer you anything. That's not been my experience with that particular credit card. On the Citibank side, I haven't used them for a while.
Yeah.
And you can always call back, and it might just be somebody new who had a bad day, kind of like dealing with the Slack clubs.
He's already canceled, though.
If you don't like the
answer,
call back again.
Yeah, I've already canceled, but, you know, I actually was thinking about doing the Southwest cards either in my wife's name or in a business name. So I guess the business would be better because I want to be the primary. I want her to be the companion pass because I fly more than she does. So,
when you have a companion pass, does it have to be a specific person, or could he use his wife some of the time and his son some of the time?
You can change 3 times during the time you have the pass. So, if you get your pass in February 2017. You initially put your wife down, and then you could change to a friend, and then change to another friend, and then change back to your wife. You get 3 changes over the life of the companion pass.
Very good.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. And, Richard, in your situation with the health care, and they'll take the credit card on the premiums, it's almost like Southwest is asking you to fly for free for a year and a half.
Right.
Now, 3 weeks ago, we talked about the Harris credit card, and I'm responding from a listener, and your conclusion then was that this is just not worth it. There's plenty of better cards out. Has anything changed that overall conclusion?
Not really. We talked a little bit more about... I guess the one benefit of the Harris card is the 5X at Harris Properties. So the only thing I can think of is if you are somebody who spends a lot of actual cash at Harris Casinos or Caesars Properties and actually pays for your hotel, that might be a worthwhile card. Or if you happen to like the restaurants and actually pay for them, that might be a worthwhile card. Because...
I would hope that our listeners have much better ways of getting free rooms at Harris Properties than this.
The only other perk is it keeps your points alive for another 6 months if you don't happen to live by a Harris property. And that can sometimes be a benefit, but I still don't think those two factors are enough to get this particular card when there's so many other ones out there.
Okay. Is Alaskan Airlines, Bank of America, Visa Signature Card, is that a good one?
Yeah, that's one I just recently signed up for. And the quick summary is 30,000 miles and $100 statement credit after you spend $1,000 in 3 months, which is pretty easy to do. The good thing is the miles can be used on American Airlines and Delta flights, which makes them usable because I don't typically fly Alaskan Airlines. There's a $75 annual fee, which they don't waive, but that $100 statement credit takes care of that. And until recently, you could get this card every 30 days. They've since changed that to you can reapply for this card every 90 days. And I've
Wait, you lost me. What do you mean you can get it every 30 days?
I get the card today, which is October 21st. I complete the spending, I hold the card for 30 days, and then I can apply for another card.
Wow.
Yeah. So they caught on to that one, and they upped it to 90 days, which is, you know, you can only do it four times a year now. So they, and now they've caught on to that, and they're limiting that. I don't know to what extent, but I applied for my first Bank of America Alaskan Airlines card yesterday, and it took about 90 seconds online to get the approval. So in 3 months, it'll be interesting to see what they do when I apply for another Bank of America Alaskan Airlines card. We'll see what happens.
For those listeners who realize that you just said it's October 21st and we're not posting the show until November 3rd. Well, cat's out of the bag. We're pre-taping it. But
that's what happens when you have amateurs on your radio station.
That's it. Well, you're an amateur with a lot of professional advice. So that's good.
Yeah, I will update. I'll update you in 3 months with what happens to that. But, you know, it's a pretty good card. It's a low spend. And 30,000 miles on Delta is worth $400. So if I can do a couple of those even, that'd be great.
Wow. All right. We're going to take a brief break from Jimmy Jazz, not to do commercials, although that'll be coming soon. But since he mentioned that it is October 21st, this is the day that we just found out that Phil Ivey in the Borgata Atlantic City at sorting case. The judge has come out and said they were breaking the rules of Atlantic City gambling, and so Phil Ivey doesn't get to keep the money. And they're still, at this point, working.
Well, wait, he didn't say he didn't get to keep the money yet, right? I thought that the casino side had to present their case about what they think their damages are. That was my understanding of what I read.
Yes, I read that too. But to start with, you know, they lost, I don't have the numbers in front of me, let's say it's $9 million. That's going to be the start of their damages. And they go, plus legal fees, plus blah, 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 plus, plus. So I'm...
Yes, but that doesn't mean that that's what they get, right? I mean, the judge still has to decide at that point, you know, what he thinks, if he thinks those damages are reasonable or, you know. I mean, they're not just going to get whatever they ask for.
But I was, and nothing Richard said was wrong, but when I heard this, I was very disappointed. I thought it was a blow for APs everywhere.
I agree with you 100%. And we should point out that the judge also said that they did not do anything illegal, which that's another thing I don't understand. He said, you broke these rules. Like, what are these rules he's talking about? What rules? You know, but he made a point of saying that they did not break the law. So they broke the rules but not the law, whatever that means.
So it does sound like there's grounds for appeal of sorts, but for some reason, Phil and his attorney are not asking us about what we should do. All right.
Are they going to sue the card manufacturer on that? Wasn't that part of the issue, that the cards had the little edge pattern?
Well, the Jamaica
yes,
card.
Yes, they... Yeah. You know, and they did bring that up, that yes, that they are claiming that the cards were defective, but I don't know if there's any lawsuit against the card manufacturer or not.
Huh. Very good. All right. So let's, we got plenty more to ask Jimmy Jazz. Since we've already started our break, let me do a few commercials first, and then we've still got more questions for Jimmy, so he's not going to get away just yet. The South Point has more than 10,000 games returning more than 99%. This is more than anybody else has. In November, the promotion of the month is you earn Smith's gift cards. Smith's is a grocery chain at half price. Normally, if you earn 8,334 points, you can redeem that for $25 cash or free play. Now you can sell those points and get a $50 Smith gift card instead. So if you value Smith's gift cards at full price, this is like double points for the month, up to a limit of 10 cards, which is $83,334 or $340, whatever it comes out to be. So that's at the South Point. At videopoker.com, we usually talk about the weekly game, but since we're doing this in advance, and they don't pick the weekly game until the members on the site vote on it the week before, the monthly game in November is Ultimate X Bonus Streak. This is gold members only because it's a new game. You play it on the site, you get double player points there. That's what you usually do. Ultimate X Bonus Streak is like Ultimate X, except you earn multipliers on 2, 3, 4, or 5 hands in the future. And if you get a certain level of additional multiplier when all your multipliers are in effect, it upgrades them all to 12X. So I'm actually looking forward to playing this. I've seen it. I think it's extremely complicated, but I don't really have a feel for the game yet, and I'm looking forward to playing this, and so I will. All right. Let's get back to Jimmy Jazz. We have, and my mouse just went dead. So, now, what happens when you open up a new credit card? There got to be dinged in some places or get rewards in some places. What's good and what's not so good?
Okay, and this is a good thing for people to know before they start this whole hobby. I think there's a little bit of disinformation out there, and some people get scared of opening a credit card and they think they'll never get a mortgage again in their life if they open up too many credit cards. So basically what happens is there's four main things that happen. Your lifetime number of accounts goes up because you're adding a new account, and that's viewed favorably by the credit reporting companies. Your credit utilization, which is how much you owe divided by how much you have available, goes down because you're opening a new credit card with X dollar limit. That's viewed favorably. The number of inquiries in 2 years goes up, and that's...
What is an inquiry? What is an inquiry?
Every time you apply for credit, bank, mortgage, car, credit card, the place you apply for the credit from will go to the credit bureau to pull your credit report, and that is an inquiry.
Okay.
So every time you take a loan out or... you know, credit card, buying a car. Anytime your credit information is reviewed, that's an inquiry. So if
okay.
you have too many of those, the credit bureaus look negatively on that, but not too much. It's not that big a deal. And the final thing is your average age of your accounts goes down, which is, again, viewed negatively, but not too much so. from my experience, a credit inquiry costs you 2 to 5 points. The average age going down might cost you a point or two. So opening a new credit card will initially ding you maybe 10 points, and that goes away fairly quickly. Another thing about credit cards is there's three main bureaus, Experian, TransUnion, and Equifax. But there's also about 30 or 40 different ways of calculating a credit score, and there's different credit scores for different things. So when you go to get car insurance and they pull a credit score that they use to determine how much you pay, it's not the same as the credit score you pull when you go to these big three. So there's a whole bunch of different credit scores, but the big three are the ones that are used for our purposes, which is credit card applications. So opening a new credit card, not that big a deal. Like I said, 5 or 10 points. So about 20 years ago, I had a dispute with a healthcare provider over a fairly small bill, and they ended up turning me into the credit bureaus for not paying it, even though I had contested it with them. So they turned it over to the credit bureaus, and a $50 bill that was in dispute ended up costing me about 85 points on my credit score. So those are the ones that hit you. Late payments, collections, those sort of things are 20 times worse than opening a credit card. So as long as you avoid the big mistakes, the little things that you do to open a credit card are no big deal. Now, when you close a credit card, some other things happen. Your average age of your accounts goes up, usually because you're closing typically a card that you open to get the bonus for, so that's a card you haven't had for a particularly long time. So that's viewed positively. And as we talked about a little bit earlier, oftentimes they'll offer you a retention bonus. And more so lately, the last couple of years than they had done previously, because I think they're finally starting to realize that if they give me a Chase Sapphire card and they've given me $500 to open that card, they want to keep me as a customer for a while. They put out that fairly significant cost, and doing something as simple as, you know, waiving an annual fee to keep me is probably pretty good business for them. So I've seen the retention offers actually increase in the last three to five years. So anytime you have a credit card and you're going to get rid of it, I would say be prepared for them to offer you something. It may not be enough to keep the card, but it's worth listening to. And another thing they might do is either offer you or you can ask to switch to a different card in their family. And as we talked about, you won't get the sign-up bonus, but you will get a card that maybe has a better spending plan. You know, you might get 5% at grocery stores for 3 months or whatever. So that's worth inquiring about as well, and it keeps the age of that account active. So you keep retaining the credit history, and that's more important if it's a card you've had for several years. And as we talked about on the Chase Southwest card, that mileage bonus they give you with your annual fee stays even if you cancel your annual fee 2 or 3 months down the road. So that's a nice little perk as well. So I guess the conclusion from all of this is, you know, don't be afraid to open up a couple of credit cards if you're worried about your credit score. It's not going to affect them very much at all.
Assuming you pay them off on time, assuming you have the accounting diligence to keep track of all this stuff. There's a lot of ifs.
Well, but even if you don't keep track of it, like in my example where I did not keep track of it very well at all, I mean, I still made $600 on it, probably not doing it very efficiently, you know, just at the last minute canceling it and, you know, spending it in what may not have been the optimal way. But,
those are,
you know, I think it's kind of pretty hard to go wrong. I mean, as long as you pay your bills, I think it's pretty hard to go wrong with this stuff.
Well, here's the thing about paying your bills is as long as you pay that minimum amount, you're viewed as favorable in the credit card rating system as if you pay the amount in full every month. So
probably you're viewed as better if you don't pay it in full, right? Because now they're earning on you.
So, right, they're getting their money and they're making their interest. And, you know, Bob, your point is actually is valid. If you're the kind of person who, you know, opens a credit card and throws it in their drawer and then, you know, looks at a statement 3 months later, this hobby's not for you. You have to keep some basic track of what you're doing, what you're spending, when your bill is due. But, I mean, there's all kinds of simple ways to do it. Automatic bill pay, you can do online, email, text alerts to let you know when the bill's gone. One thing I have noticed, though, is it's getting harder and harder to get a late payment or misunderstanding fee removed. It used to be
really? That surprises me.
It used to be pretty much automatic, and my battles with Amex on a couple of their cards proved to be long and drawn out, and one didn't go my way. And it's kind of curious to me. The one dispute I have with Amex on one of their cards is over like $22, and they've given me this, you know, $700 bonus to sign up for their card, and they're going to tick me off over $22, which was basically a misunderstanding that I corrected immediately after it happened. So, unfortunately, it's like the best credit card I have now, so I can't really dump it. So, but they've become much more resistant to the automatic waive. What they also did, which was curious, is they waive the late fee, but not the interest charge because of the late fee. And it's like, if you're waiving one, why not waive both? And it's like, I don't know, they're trying to nickel and dime when they're giving you $800 to sign up for a credit card. So it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, but that's been my experience lately with credit cards. So it does take. Go ahead.
In my own case, I had two different American Express cards that both changed from American Express to Visa. One was the Costco card, and the other was through Fidelity. They have a Fidelity card that gives you 2% on everything, whatever you spend it on. Mm-hmm. And they both changed from American Express to Visa. In both cases, you know, I signed up for automatic pay, and in both cases, it didn't go through the first month. And, you know, I called them immediately, and they, you know, they waived it immediately when I called them. So, but I guess that's kind of a different situation because they were the one who changed the cards on me. And
Right. I mean, mine was pretty simple. It was, I set up the automatic bill pay on two of the three Amex cards I had at the time. And the third one, I thought I had set it up, and I didn't because, you know, I'd see the statements and the reminders that say, you know, you're all set. You know, it was my fault. I freely admit that. But as soon as I realized it, I think my bill was like 6 days overdue. I called them up and I said, here's what happened. And, you know, they hemmed and hawed and they waived the late fee but didn't waive the interest charge. And I fought them again, they hemmed and hawed, and they finally waived the interest charge. So it's more of a battle over smaller amounts. So I imagine they're higher ups in the accounting department said, hey, we're losing revenue on this particular transaction, so be a little firmer on that. But then if you call to cancel, they'll say, yeah, we'll waive your annual fee. So it's kind of funny how they do things.
A couple years ago, you said you had one card where you kept it and paid the annual fee every year because it was so valuable to you. I have no idea which card that was.
Chase Sapphire Preferred.
All right. Would it make sense, under those conditions, for you to call them up and say you're thinking about canceling it and see what they offer you? Now, whatever, because you're not going to cancel it, but at least going through the conversation, Would that make any sense? Bluff.
Yeah, it would. The Chase Sapphire is still a great card, but it's got diluted a little bit the last couple of years. The one thing they did was they used to give you a 7% bonus on all the miles you earned, points you earned through the year, and they don't do that anymore. And there was a couple other little things that they changed. So what I'm probably going to do in May, when my annual fee is up, is switch it over to a Chase Freedom card, which gives you the 5% in a spend category every 3 months. And there's no annual fee with the Chase Freedom card. I won't get the bonus for that particular card because I'm switching a card and not signing up for a new one. But given their rules on opening new credit cards, I don't think I'm ever going to have a Chase credit card again anyway, so it's not that big a deal. But, yeah, I mean, if you call up and say, hey, I'm thinking about switching, they will probably offer you something.
So.
That, by the way, is true for a lot of things. I mean, you can use that strategy with your cable company, with your cell phone company. There are a lot of companies where you can just call up and try that. It's a free shot, and often it'll work.
Yeah, it's probably not a good idea to try it with your wife. She might take you up on it.
No, so, yeah, that's yeah.
I'll tell you a quick one about cable. It's Comcast around here, and we did the initial plan.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, and it kept increasing, and finally I went on a little chat, and I said, hey, this bill is ridiculous. What can we do about it? And she says, oh, if I had the triple play, which is the cable, internet, and phone. She said, if you sign up for the four play, which is internet, phone, cable, and security, your bill goes down by $45 a month. So I said, okay. So I signed up. My bill went down. They sent me the security package, which is still sitting in my basement. And that little conversation saved me $45 a month for 2 years.
We've been talking to Jimmy Jazz about credit cards and a whole bunch of other things. Highly informative as always. Thank you very much. When are you going to post on the Gambling with an Edge .com site again?
When I have something good to post. I'm not sure how much of this information should go there. I'm kind of debating on how to handle that.
So when we have you on the air, it's preventing you from posting on the site? So it's our own fault.
Well, I don't know if it's preventing. I'm just trying to think of is this type of information what should be posted on that site? And we can talk about that a little bit and maybe condense it down and do something like that.
Well, yeah, the site has all kinds of stuff on there. And you talk about saving money in a different way than other people do. But it's a welcome addition to the site.
Well, thank you.
All right, Richard.
I'll let you post a few.
Richard, it's been a while since we told people where they can get our broadcasts.
Oh, well, first of all, we really encourage our listener questions. You can send them to us at gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com. You can post them at gamblingwithanedge.com. Or you can tweet them at me at RWM21 or on the Facebook page, facebook.com/gamblingwithanedge. You can get the show delivered to you automatically every week by signing up at gamblingwithanedge.com or iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, any of the places where you normally get your podcasts. Oh, and for an archive of every episode, you can find that at bobdancer.com.
All right, I'll do that. Thank
you,
Richard.
Time for
thank you.
One quick
thank you.
Sure.
Item. One of the listeners emailed me and said that Smith's Grocery Stores in Las Vegas does the fuel rewards similar to Kroger in my neck of the woods. So buying the gift cards when they do double points on their gift cards would be a 14% savings on your gas bill.
That's true. You do spend money in the grocery store and you get cheaper gas. That's definitely true. At shelf stations generally, which start out being higher priced than many of the others, but you do get a discount there. Very good. Thank you very much, Jimmy. Thank you, Richard. Go out and hit lots of royal flushes, everybody. Good day.